Yo, Nicole.
Hey, what's up?
I'm going to grant you 3 wishes.
Ooh.
But you got to use them wisely.
Okay.
What are the things you wish for?
I wish for eternal wealth. I wish for a steady weight that I can maintain. And
oh, vanity. Okay, I love that.
And of course, for my last wish, I wish for world peace. What about you?
Wow. Okay, so only one of those. Well, actually, maybe 2 of the wishes I agree with. I think if you had enough wealth, though, you can just make yourself beautiful with plastic surgery. So you wouldn't. That's a waste of a wish, I think.
Well, it's right. About maintaining a weight. Like, you can get plastic surgery and still gain all the weight back.
You can continue all the plastic surgery with all the money in the world.
Besides, these are my wishes, and, like, I'd rather not.
I disagree with your wishes. I disagree with your wishes. And you know what? I feel like Will Smith's genie would disagree with your wishes as well, because as he warned us on the latest Aladdin, there's a lot of gray area with your wishes.
Yeah, well, I don't need him granting me wishes and then judging me afterwards, but we're going to talk about that later.
We will be talking a lot about Aladdin and Genie and the 3 wishes on today's Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Nicole.
And as I said, you're listening to Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast.
About unoriginality. Let's do this. Let's go to Agrabah.
And Rolando.
Yeah, I'm good.
We're great.
I guess we should know, in case it sounds a little off this week, we are recording from separate places.
We are, yes. So where are you recording from?
I'm recording from home here in beautiful Jersey. Where are you?
I am recording from the sunny beaches of Montauk.
Oh, Montauk. You know there's a Montauk monster?
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Montauk monster was this beast that washed up ashore, and it was like, no one knows what it is. People think it's like a dead raccoon that just got like hairless.
Oh, poor thing.
Yeah. But yeah, so congratulations. I hope you spot it. And yeah, we're joined today by Eddie Z. Eddie, hey.
And I'm recording directly from the Cave of Wonders.
Oh, look at that.
AKA your bachelor pad. So,
okay, great.
Yeah, so when you listen to this, by the way.
Also, hang on. I guess the other thing we should say is, like, happy Memorial
Day. That's what I was about to
releasing.
Say. Yeah, happy Memorial Day, guys.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's why Nicole is off in Montauk and I'm home doing nothing, as is my life, you know, usually.
Oh, stop. We have so much to do this weekend. We're action-packed.
But yeah, so happy Memorial Day 2019, when Aladdin has just been released in theaters. Have you seen it? We've seen it.
We've seen it, yes.
Yeah, we did.
And we will be talking about that probably in the second half of the show. But
yeah,
and I'm excited to hear Nicole's thoughts. I'm always am when it comes to Disney remakes.
I am excited to hear what Rolando thought, which I'm pretty sure you liked it, but I'm still excited to hear some of your other thoughts.
Sure, sure, sure. Nicole, how many remakes of Disney does this have we done already?
This is God.
What, 3rd or 4th?
This Beauty and the Beast, Mary Poppins, Jungle Book, Dumbo. So this is our 5th.
Wow, 5 of them already.
Yeah. And
they're going to keep coming.
Yeah, a couple weeks we're going to do The Lion King, which my brother-in-law said is going to be the Black Panther of the year, which I thought was an interesting comment to make.
What? All right, so why is it going to be the Black Panther of the year? Is it because of the all-black cast? Well, not all-black, but like majority black cast?
Like,
or
it's going to be
black
such
because
a monumental hit for black audiences that it's going to like rival the popularity and the impact that Black Panther had.
That's an interesting, I guess, that, right?
Yeah, that's an interesting theory.
Why would black audiences be so drawn to The Lion King? I know it takes place in Africa, and there's a lot of, like, African, I don't think even history, though. There's, like, a lot of, it's just about nature, really.
Well, I don't know, because I thought that comment was interesting, because he made that comment while discussing Aladdin, which is a film that has a predominantly Middle Eastern cast in it. And I'm like, okay, but before The Lion King comes out, why don't we focus on this, which is also really important for people of Middle Eastern heritage in this country.
Yes.
So
yes.
With that being said, let's focus on Aladdin. And we'll reach to that Lion King comment a little bit later, say in July when Lion King comes out.
That's true.
But
we'll be covering The Lion King, guys.
So do you know anything about the history of the story of Aladdin, Rolando and Eddie?
Oh, actually, the story of Aladdin is actually a lot filthier than, like, Disney sanctified it to be.
Of course.
I'm actually, I will be posting in the show notes a great article from Slate, which kind of details the really raunchy and dirty history of Aladdin, because it is not Aladdin was kind of like just a man whore. It's implied in the, I think, in the Disney movie that he's a little bit of a man whore, but like the books go really in depth into his man whorishness.
Yeah. Have you ever read or heard of the book 1001 Arabian Nights?
Okay, well, I obviously have not read that book because it's 2019 and like who reads like books from like a million years ago?
Well, it's 2019. Who sadly reads books anymore? But people do, Rolando. People do.
Yeah, Eddie Z is one of those people. He reads books.
Yes.
Aww. And I'm familiar with this book, and I'm familiar with the different stories.
Did you read the books?
As a little kid, we had like abridged versions of it, like different student stories, different stories. And I remember too, like, I don't know why it's so funny, but like in elementary school, we would have like Fridays would be like they would show little films, little animated films. And a lot of stories would be taken from 1001 Arabian Nights.
Yep.
And like what was my train of thought? Just like different stories about genies. So I became very fascinated as a little kid with genies.
Well, so Rolando, you're going to love this though, because the original book of 1001 Nights, there are a bunch of stories being told by a narrator essentially in the book. Now, the reason why this person is telling a story is because pretty much there's a king over, I think it's India and China. And
I think I do know this. He's about to be executed, so he's telling these stories to like delay his execution.
Yes, but before that, it's narrated by a woman, right? So I'm just gonna say the king, but the king finds out that his brother's wife has been unfaithful, and he's so hurt by this infidelity that he decides that all women are the same, and he begins a succession of marrying virgins and then executing them the next day. Terrible, right? Just killing women.
It sounds hot.
Yeah.
That sounds like a fetish for people.
Oh,
and then eventually,
gross.
Like, I think they kill all the virgins and they find like someone's daughter. I can't remember. And if I'm getting it wrong, but like, please remind me. But they find someone's daughter and she offers herself to be the next bride. But she starts telling stories that people are entertained by in order to save her life.
You know, this was actually an episode of Wishbone.
Yeah, this has been this. I think even the Looney Tunes did this, like with Bugs Bunny, which, whatever. But
was
like,
he the one retelling the tales?
Yes.
Okay.
So this is a really,
I would love to see that.
Yeah, it's a really popular motif to tell stories. So now, oddly enough, too, and this is a fun fact, is that Aladdin is one of those 1001 is one of the stories in 1001 Nights, but it wasn't in the original Arabic text. It was actually added in the French text, and it was a story that a Frenchman heard. From a Syrian storyteller. So it's just got like all this cultural dividing that like all like crazy history. So really look up the history. We won't spend too much time on that, but look up the history of how the story of Aladdin actually came to be. And it's really popular. It's been turned into live action and animation movies for years. Most popularly in my head, most popularly in 1940 in The Thief of Baghdad, which was a film.
That is most certainly not the most popular. We're going to be talking about the most popular.
We will,
adaptation.
But I grew up on that film. My father really loved it. It's this really vibrant Technicolor British film, and it's beautiful. And actually, the genie in that film, I think, is what they used as the live action inspiration for how to portray Will Smith in this new musical version of Aladdin. And that's just my theory. It is a bold theory. So let's now flash forward to 1992, shall we?
1992. What was going on in 1992, Nicole? You always give us the tea.
Well, you know, Clinton.
Going back in time with Nicole. We should do a little podcast called
Time
Going
Traveling.
Back in Time with Nicole.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, so.
You can have like your own segment ready.
We should. That'd be so great, actually. Can I get like a time traveling theme song too?
Yeah. That'd be
definitely.
Cool.
So in 1992, you know, this is still like the height of the Simpsons fame. Bush is still president, but Clinton's like putting himself out there and people are like, oh, hey, who's this Clinton guy? Unforgiven won that year for Best Picture. I'm sure you guys have never seen that film.
Is that the one with Diane Lane?
No, it's a Western with Clint Eastwood.
Oh.
I know what you're thinking of, though. The one where she cheats. She's unfaithful.
Unfaithful. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So anyway, so this is 1992. Michael Jackson, you know, was really popular with Dangerous and Black and White and those songs. So this is the 90s, guys.
Oh, Black and White.
Yeah.
That's okay.
And
Michael Jackson is canceled, though, at the moment, right? We don't talk really... We're not supposed to talk positively about Jackson.
Well, right? This is history, so we're not talking about our feelings about him. We're giving historical perspective. Also, the very next year, the Power Rangers came out, which is important when we talk about Naomi Scott's career. But so anyway, it's 1992.
Wait, who's Naomi Scott?
She played Jasmine in the new one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Naomi Scott, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, who was she in the Power Rangers?
She was the pink Power Ranger, Kimberly.
That was Kimberly from like the remake?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my fucking God. I did not know that. My mind is blown right now. Did not know that. Did not realize that.
Yep, that's her.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah.
Wow. I did so much research, and that's the one thing I didn't really research on. I was so blown away by her.
We'll talk about her in a bit.
Yeah.
So, 1992, The Little Mermaid came out a couple of years ago, and then the very first 1991, Beauty and the Beast came out. So Disney is full throttle Renaissance period. And they decide, as their 31st Disney animated feature film, that they would tell the story of Aladdin. Now, I actually kind of want to hear a little bit.
My parents used to call it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my mom used to call it Aladdin.
So what do you guys know about the relationship between Robin Williams and Disney? Anything?
A lot. Actually, I talked about it on the podcast before. It was a very sordid, complicated history from beginning to end.
Yes. So pretty much this one was produced by, what were their names? John Musker and Ron Clements. And, you know, the.
Sure.
In this period, it was really common to get like character actors to be your voice actors. But like Robin Williams was really, really famous. Like he was kind of coming back from a down period in the 80s where he wasn't really famous, and he was becoming hugely popular again after Dead Poets Society and some movies in the early 90s.
Thank you, Vietnam.
Good morning, Vietnam.
Good morning,
Good
Vietnam.
Good morning, Vietnam.
That was
Good
another
morning,
one.
Good
yeah.
morning, Vietnam. Let's
see. So actually, and interesting, part of the reason why he took this role of Genie in Aladdin was to thank Disney for taking a risk on him because of Dead Poets Society, he got an Oscar nomination.
Yes.
And so it kind of revived his career. So he took, and it was a huge pay cut he took too.
Yes, it really did revitalize his career. But before that, he actually had obligations to star in another animated film called Fern Gully, which I've never seen. Have you guys seen Fern Gully?
Yeah, Fern Gully is this terrible movie of about like, it's very pro-environmentalism. So basically, have you seen Avatar by James Cameron?
Unfortunately, yes, I did see that film.
Okay, so that's literally the plot of Fern Gully, just like taking place with fairies.
They're like woodland fairies, tiny woodland fairies who end up accidentally capturing.
I think he became a human.
Yeah, a human who's like a construction worker waiting to tear down some part of the forest, and he ends up, they turn him small. So he lives among them for a little while and kind of gets the experience of their world and why they're protecting nature.
That is fantastic. Yeah. I love that.
And that is like almost verbatim the plot of Avatar.
Yeah, that really is. And isn't also it is. Avatar, like people also joked that it was Pocahontas and stuff. Like Avatar is not original. Avatar
and,
sucks.
No, Avatar is not original at all. I'm going to complain about this. I complain about Avatar whenever I get a chance, and this is going to be one of those
I
moments.
Fucking hate
it's
Avatar.
It's also a ripoff of Dancing with Wolves.
Yes. I'm so glad we are in agreement that Avatar sucks. But
Avatar is the worst.
It's
getting three sequels. I don't know why.
I thought it was five.
Five sequels? Yeah. That's too many sequels.
Yeah. I'm just glad that it took 10 years, though, because like they're going to sadly realize that nobody gives a shit about Avatar anymore.
No one gives a fuck about Avatar. Avatar does not have the longevity of like a movie like Jurassic Park.
No. I love how passionate we are about this. But so I digress. So Robin Williams is in Fern Gully as a bat, and he does this rap and stuff. So, and he was contractually obligated to do this from, like, he offered his services because he really thought that the plot of Fern Gully was great. He's like an environmentalist and stuff. So he signed on to do Fern Gully, and then he got signed on to do Aladdin. And of course, it's Disney, and Disney likes to wipe out their competition. There's just so many stories about this. So they kind of wanted him to back out of Fern Gully, and Robin Williams didn't want to. But he made an agreement with Disney, right? He said, look, you guys can use my name and stuff. Like, I will happily be this genie for you. But I want you to use me in terms of publicity and promotions and, like, less than 20% of your marketing. That was
25%. It was
25%. He was like, honestly, like, that's all I want. And I don't think that's anything hard to ask for. But that's actually something really hard to ask for Disney, especially when they're just kind of like petty assholes.
I don't know if they were petty necessarily, because it wasn't just Fern Gully. That was also the thing that was that was holding that, why Robin Williams didn't want to use his name out there as much for this movie. He was also about to release that year this movie called Toys, and that was like his passion project.
Yes.
And Toys flopped hard because of the success, not because of the success of Aladdin, but because Robin Williams and Aladdin were still synonymous. And he really felt that the failure of Toys was in part because of Disney's use of, like, Robin Williams.
Because Aladdin, of Disney's, you know what I mean? Toys, yeah. Because of Burger King, he was very a Happy adamant. Meal.
He did not want to be part of, like, those Happy Meals. He didn't want to be part of those marketing of the toys and stuff. He was,
He didn't want to be exploited. Really, yeah, he was exploited. Yeah. And
he felt that Disney reneged on their original contract. Although Disney says it was just a verbal agreement and that's not binding.
Yeah, that's they're right petty. About that. That's petty.
That's not petty. That's true. We live in a very capitalistic world, and that is that's the facts. The facts are those, and that was it.
Yeah, so you pretty much have, like, it's freaking survival of the fittest out there.
If he didn't talk to a lawyer to get this all in contract, then I think Disney didn't do anything wrong.
Wow, stick it up for the big man. Look at you.
I am, because I plan on being one day one of those big men.
How do you feel about of this, Eddie?
About, like, what? Exactly the whole Robin Williams, the deal and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Or the fact that I'm a capitalist pig.
I don't think you're really a capital pig. I think you like playing one on TV.
This is true. If this happened to you, you would truly be devastated. So also, I just want to say, though, because of the success of casting Robin Williams in The Genie, like, that pretty much catapulted the trend that happened throughout the rest of the 90s and the early 2000s, where animated films were, like, they were built on their celebrity power. I mean, just look at Shrek and Mike Myers, Cameron Diaz, Eddie Murphy. And then, like, even in Disney movies, they always had, like, that comedian that played either an animal or a sidekick that really, like, catapulted the promotional value of these films. Because, like I said before that, if you look at any Disney film, like, who was in The Little Mermaid? Like, Buddy Hackett? You know, like...
Exactly.
You don't even know who that is. So it's like...
But I can tell you who was in Mulan.
And that was after Aladdin, right?
And big that was names. Eddie Murphy,
yeah. Yeah, and The Lion King.
It's interesting. Eddie Murphy was actually considered for the role of Genie. Do you know who else was?
No, who?
Oh, Steve Martin and John Candy. Steve Martin, who we talked about in our last regular episode.
Oh, that would have been pleasant.
And and John Candy. I don't know much about John Candy's work, so I don't know how he would have done. But Steve Martin would have been interesting. I feel like Steve Martin's more of a physical actor, though. So I don't know if it would have been translated as well.
But nobody's to the verbal power that Robin Williams was. So that was very good casting.
Yes, it was.
10,000 years will give you such a crick in the neck. Hang on a second. Whoa! Does it feel good to be out of there? I'm telling you, nice to be back, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, where are you from? What's your name?
Aladdin.
Aladdin! Hello, Aladdin. Nice to have you on the show. Can we call you Al, or maybe just Din? Or how about Ladi? Sounds like, here, boy. Come on, Ladi.
I must have hit my head harder than I thought.
Well, so the music was written by the same two guys who wrote The Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast, so, like, they were still riding high. Well, actually...
Didn't they also do The Little Mermaid or no?
More Alan Menken. I think Howard Ashman was probably dead from AIDS at this point. But they did do The Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast. And so it came out in November of 1992. And it was a major success. According to Wikipedia, the budget was only $28 million. And the box office, they made $500 million.
That makes sense. It was, I remember this. Did you see the movie in theater?
So I was... turning four. This might have been my first film I ever saw in the theater.
Oh, actually, thank you for bringing this up, because I have another major gripe that I'm going to, like, throw right now before I forget, because you just brought it up.
Sure.
I feel like parents that bring anyone who's under the age of two to a movie theater is a fucking terrorist. Okay?
That's a really passionate word to use.
I was watching Aladdin yesterday, and this lady had her toddler who would not stop crying, and she decided to stay there. All right, she didn't even have the fucking courtesy of, like, stepping outside and trying to calm that toddler down. No, she stayed in that theater and she left that baby crying. So I just want every parent out there to know, if you're taking your child who is being loud, and I understand, like, children get fussy, but, like, if you don't leave that movie theater when they start crying, then you're a fucking terrorist. And I believe that, you know, we should, like, take you to Guantanamo Bay.
I definitely think that there should be stated rules. No texting, don't take a fucking phone call, and no crying in a theater if you're under the age of three.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Yeah. So were you a crying baby when you were 4 years old?
I don't remember.
Oh my God, you might have been.
I might have been, but I vaguely remember seeing it in theaters.
Wait, you're how old are you now?
I'm 30.
Okay, so that means I would have been 6 years old if you were four.
So did you see it in the theater?
Right?
I remember
seeing it in theaters, but I felt like I was older than that. Maybe I was just mature for my age.
Maybe, yeah.
I was definitely living in the Bronx at the time, so I do that is correct. And then I also remember Mal immediately bought me the bootleg version, and we just had that on VHS all the time.
Oh yeah,
that was the first bootleg movie that we had for.
I played that VHS animated. Out like a lot. That was one of my favorite ones to watch. But as I've gotten older, I've kind of stopped watching Aladdin personally.
Oh, interesting. I'm in the same boat as you. It's one of those things, right? I loved Aladdin as a kid. Mm-hmm. I still hold it very fondly. I think it wasn't until like maybe when it came out on DVD again, and you know, my family had it, and we had like a family movie night.
Yeah.
And I must have been like, what, 18, 19, maybe I was visiting from college or something. But I remember watching this movie, and I was just like, I think it took me a little bit to be older to really appreciate the voice acting that Robin Williams did.
Yes.
Because that movie is fucking great. But like, Robin Williams is what makes that catapults that movie to greatness, I think.
I think so too.
And I think it was unfortunately his suicide that makes me just really appreciate like the work that he has done, right? Mm. Is Robin Williams a lot of flack? But, like, he is a very, very strong performer.
No, he 100% is.
This movie for sure solidified, I feel like, just makes him part of, like, his iconicism.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think that's one of the positive good things about this film. I mean, I think the music's really good. It's not my favorite score, but it's a strong score. Strong Robin Williams. Of course, animation is always breathtaking. And I think that is where all the great things about Aladdin ends. So it's just hard because the older you get, and especially when we have aged with the age of, I guess, political correctness is the way to say it. You know, it's hard to listen to a lot of the lyrics.
Just the really Arabian Night is the one that gets a little problematic. The very, very first song.
Yeah, I mean, a little problematic, very problematic. But even like some of the lines in the other songs, like what's the Street Rat song? One Jump.
Street Rap, Riff Rap. What about it?
There's just like, well, also, not even in the songs, but like in the actual movie and things that they thankfully decided to take out of the 2019 versions. There's just a lot of sex in there. And I mean, hey, as an adult, I don't mind. But this is a film that's targeted for children. This is always my major gripe with Disney films. Is that I don't care about the fantastical elements and like how real or unreal a quote unquote is. But at the same time, it's like, if I'm going to be 4 years old and seeing this, like I am getting a lot of subliminal sexual messages about women and about the relationships, especially heterosexual relationships that are just being implanted in my brain.
Yeah, no, I do agree with you on that one. Even at a young age, I kind of felt that like this Aladdin one, because remember, at this point, I had already probably seen like on VHS, like the other ones, like I definitely had seen Beauty and the Beast. I definitely had seen Little Mermaid. I'm pretty sure I'd seen Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty. But like this one felt a lot sexier.
Yeah.
Right? Because Aladdin, first of all, was just walking around in a vest, no shirt on. Mm-hmm. Also, no nipples for some reason. then you had Princess Jasmine dressed up like a slore with her midriff showing.
Yep.
Everyone was always like fucking like always scantily. But it's also hot in the desert, Nicole. Don't take that away from them. It gets hot in the desert. I played The Legend of Zelda, and this is how they dress in the desert.
Yeah, we also know what, like, people in the Middle East, they dress in, like, full-on clothing. Everything is covered. So the desert excuse is not a good one. I just think it's this thing that white people do where they just, like, exoticize people who are not white. So it just...
I agree with you there.
It just feels exoticized. I don't even know if that's, like, a word, and please let that be the episode title. But it's just, like, overly exotic. And fetishized even would be a word, especially. Yeah,
fetishized, I think is a very, very appropriate word for sure. I think,
especially in the end.
And also, there was also some subliminal coding in the animation too. If you think about it, right? Because you look at Jasmine, Aladdin, even the Sultan, right? They had very flattering features because they were the good guys. Almost, I would say they lean more towards Anglo features in the animation.
That's true.
But when you came to like any of the bad guys, like we're talking Jafar, the guards, they look more like caricatures, like racist caricatures of Middle Eastern people.
They did. And then it's interesting, too, because like the quote unquote good people had no reminiscent of what it is to be quote unquote Middle Eastern at all. Let's talk about the Sultan, the father. Right. This little chubby guy.
Don't talk
guy.
Shit about the Sultan, man. He was adorable. I loved him. He was one of my favorite characters.
That's great. Didn't speak Middle Eastern at all. I always thought he was white. And I always thought that Jasmine was adopted.
No one spoke Middle Eastern.
No. I'm not saying they had to. Of course, they're not going to speak it. It's a Disney film. He didn't look at it at all. He looked like a chubby little white guy. And like the way he spoke, even though like was so characteristically like Jafar spoke with a deeper accent that could actually be associated with a person who was, say, not white. Okay. But
no,
the Sultan spoke
white. Jafar, I would argue, had the whitest of the. Jafar reminded me like of Alan. Who's Snape? Alan, not Moore. Come on, guys. Alan, help me out here. Alan, he died recently. He played Snape on Harry Potter. You guys love Harry Potter.
I know who. Yeah, it's not coming to me right now.
Thank you guys for your help. It'll come to me later on. So go. Yeah, but I think he felt more white.
Alan Rickman.
Thank you, Eddie. That's why you're producer.
Her mother wasn't nearly so pretty. Jafar. My most trusted advisor. I am in desperate need of your wisdom.
My life is but to serve you, my lord.
It's this suitor business. Jasmine refuses to choose a husband. I'm at my wit's end.
Ah, wit's end!
Have a cracker, pretty Polly. Pretty Polly.
Your majesty certainly has a way with dumb animals. Now then, perhaps I can divine a solution to this thorny problem.
Now, I don't know if I thought he was like white.
I'm not too butthurt about the casting. And like, of course, like at the end of the day, like it's a fucking Disney movie for American kids and stuff. But at the same time, like the Sultan himself is just the least. And that's because he's also a good, I think, even the way that they drew him is the least looking like a person who would actually be fitting in this town of Agrabah, in my opinion. But I like the amount of animal sidekicks there were, and that they, other than the parrot, because it's a parrot, didn't really speak.
The parrot spoke all the time.
But the Raja didn't, and Abu didn't. That's what I'm saying. Other than the parrot. Obviously, the parrot spoke because it's a parrot.
Oh, you said obviously the parrot. Yeah. Played by...
Gilbert Godfrey.
Gilbert Godfrey, who is another one, right? Rewatching the movie, because I rewatched it yesterday also. I forgot, like, Gilbert Godfrey is also fucking great in this movie.
Yeah.
This movie is very solid. The animated feature is so fucking good. Just rewatching it, just what's it called? I don't know if it was it wasn't nostalgia, right? Because every time I rewatch these, I try to be critical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how I was able to pick apart. Like, you know, it's just like, oh, there's a lot of like not racist. I wouldn't call it outright racist undertones. It was more like stereotypical
stuff. Exoticism. It was a lot more sexual and problematic, but in a weird way, kind of a little bit more fun.
It was charming. It's a charming movie. So also from the male perspective, keep in mind, a lot of Disney movies are usually princess related, right? There's very few male leads. And usually when they're male leads, they're animals. And I'm thinking of like the Great Mouse Detective. Robin Hood, right?
Yeah.
The King, the Sword in the Stone is a lead, but is that my favorite movie, Disney? But Aladdin gave us, like, our first, like, genuinely cool male lead, human, attractive, right? I mean, you know, he had, like, a built chest. He was flaunting it all the time.
No nipples,
No nipples, though. Weird. Aladdin was also, right in the very beginning, he goes all out to steal a loaf of bread. And then what does he do with that bread? He gives it to, like, starving children, right? Because it just shows you he's such a good guy.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be thrifty, smart, and a little bit of a thief. But like Robin Hood, he's a thief with a heart of gold.
Yes, and he's the only one who is the one that can get the diamond in the rough in the Cave of Wonders. You know, they say only one can really do it, and Aladdin is that one.
No, he is the diamond in the rough. That's what it is. He's looking for the diamond in the rough. He's not the. They don't want to find the diamond in the rough.
Well, you know,
they want to find the. they want to find the thing. But yeah, I guess we haven't talked about plot. We're like already like almost 30 minutes in and like we haven't talked about plot.
So, I mean, I feel like everyone's seen Aladdin, but like...
Just give us a breakdown of the actual plot in case they haven't seen it, just in case.
Oh, you want me to?
Yeah, go.
Oh, really simple. Aladdin is a street rat. He's a common thief and...
Riffraff.
He's a riffraff. And Jasmine is a princess. And the Sultan, and they all of them live in a castle. And Jafar is his vizier, his right-hand man. And Jafar, who is evil with evil intentions and wants to be the Sultan, picks Aladdin to go into the Cave of Wonders to fetch out a lamp for him because Jafar himself wants a lamp to be granted the wish to become the Sultan. But Aladdin actually gets the lamp, and he rubs the lamp. Out comes a genie and grants him 3 wishes, and all Aladdin really wants is for Jasmine to love him. So he does all this extra stuff. He becomes a prince, all this other stuff that I won't spoil, just so he can get the love of a good woman.
Spoiled. This movie came out like 2 decades ago.
Hey, there have been some people who have never seen Aladdin.
If you haven't seen it, you're missing out, and I judge you. I judge you. I pass judgment.
It's okay. Rolando will judge you no matter what you do. So don't.
We're
going to
give. I think right now, I guess we'll give a nice spoiler warning so you can give the spoils of the end because we're going to talk about the new one also. So.
Well, I guess the moral of the story of Aladdin is one, be yourself, right? Don't try and be someone else. And two, like, because who you are is worth love and worth loving in general, right? At the end of the day, he doesn't need to be a prince for Jasmine to fall in love with him and to actually decide to be with him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can wish for a lot of things, but, like, never use those wishes for bad things or harm to others, and just be a good-intentioned person.
Actually, so that's, I think, you nailed the crux of the story here, which was Aladdin putting on a show to impress Princess Jasmine, despite the fact that he had already impressed her and won her heart prior to their, what's it called, he was pretending to be a prince. I think that's the other major storyline here, right? That kind of moves the plot forward. The fact that Jasmine has to marry so that way they can have a sultan.
Yes.
Since, you know, the father was afraid that he was gonna die. And she wants to marry for love. Sultan wants her to marry, you know, just to marry.
Yes.
So they have all these princes courting her. So that's why Aladdin pretended to be a prince. And this is basically Jasmine's character. So it's interesting, right? I think Jasmine gets hailed as like almost a little bit of a feminist heroine in a Disney princesses, but I'm actually while I was watching it, I was rethinking that stance, if she was in fact a feminist hero, because she was still focused on itself, marriage and love. It was just she was focused on marriage and love for like the quote unquote right reasons.
Yeah.
But that was still her prerogative, right? Trying to get married, trying to find the one.
She was woke within her role. She didn't think outside of her role. If
right,
that makes sense.
That's perfect way. That's a perfect way of putting it. Yes.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I don't think any of the Disney princesses are quote-unquote woke to begin with, and I just want to put that out there. But definitely Jasmine herself is just focused on love. That's it.
She is focused on love. But that's also, she wasn't the main character, though. The movie was Aladdin. This is really about a boy's journey to figure out to be yourself.
True. And there was a lot of people there trying to claim her body.
But you know what? As she says, she screamed to Aladdin and Jafar, and her dad is just like, this is my body. I'll do what I want.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Well, yeah.
So it's interesting, right? I think they were introducing something. I don't think they went far enough with it. But also, I will recognize this wasn't her story. This was his story.
True. True. But
she had to fit in his plot.
This is true. But this is also a writer's room of white men who just don't know how to write for women.
Oh, I mean, sure, of course, but you could argue that it's still happening in 2019.
You could
look
argue
at Game
that.
Of Thrones.
You could, well, I don't watch Game of Thrones, and let's not talk about that.
I have opinions, guys.
Well, just to add to
Eddie wants to add.
Just to add, this Jasmine though was also bored about her palace life.
Oh, it's true. Like animated Jasmine was bored with her palace.
This is gonna play. It's gonna play off. Oh, this is going to be different from the Jasmine of this movie.
This is true. Jasmine wasn't reading books. She wasn't Belle. She wasn't like this learned girl who just like wanted more than her life. She was just like looking to be entertained, I guess.
She was looking for life outside the palace walls.
Yes.
You know, it's like it's a whole idea of like grass is greener, right? Like I'm sitting here on my third floor in North Jersey wishing I was in a penthouse in New York City. But I know if you have that penthouse in New York City, it comes with drama such as, you know, people trying to steal it from you, people trying to murder you or frame you for murder.
Yeah.
I must be thinking of the show Billions or something.
Yeah. All right, so let's jump into 2019.
Let's go to 2019.
You should see these places. I mean, there's a whole world outside of books and maps. Do you want to?
How? Every door is guarded.
Who said anything about a door?
What are you doing?
Sometimes, princess, sometimes you just have to take a risk.
What just happened?
A whole new movie, which is also my least favorite song.
Before we jump to 2019, I just want to, between 2019 and the Aladdin release, they did release, Disney was doing covers of their music, right? Of their iconic songs. And do you know who covered A Whole New World?
Who?
It was Jessica Simpson and Nick Lachey. And I remember listening to it on the Disney Channel and hating it. It was just like, ugh, this is the worst.
Yeah, that already sounds terrible.
So bad. This is obviously when they thought they were in love and doing that reality TV show.
Yeah.
So now we can flash forward to 2019.
So 2019, directed by Guy Ritchie. Did you know that?
Guy Ritchie, Mr. Madonna. Ex-Madonna, I guess.
Ex-Madonna, yeah. He's no more Mr. Madonna.
No. What was the last movie Guy Ritchie did? I think it was a flop. Wasn't it Robin Hood, I think?
It might have been, or Sherlock Holmes 2. But he's okay. Just he's not the same from his Lock, Stock, and Barrel and Snatch days. So he's just now...
Guy Ritchie ever been good?
If you consider Lock, Stock, and Barrel and Snatch to be good films, then he was.
I never seen them, so I can't say.
He's like, okay. He's a flashy movie director. And then he got famous and banged...
King Arthur. That's the last movie, yeah.
Okay. Well, he got famous and banged Madonna, and he didn't need to care anymore, so...
I don't think he married Madonna. Let's not downplay their relationship here.
Okay. Well, I don't know my Madonna facts, but...
Oh. And you speak for the gays? Wow.
Did I say I speak for the gays? I speak for the gays on behalf of Judy Garland and Barbara Streisand and Bette Midler, but Madonna, not so much.
Oh, all right. So you're not down with contemporary gays. You're down with like all the 1950s gays.
No, I love contemporary gays, but I like Madonna. Don't get me wrong. I just don't speak for the gays on behalf of Madonna.
All right, fine.
Moving on.
Carry on.
So this cast is actually, other than the genie, which we'll get to in a second, this is a bunch of appropriately casted people who you don't probably never really heard of before.
Except for, I thought this girl was white. It turns out she's actually Iranian, the girl who was a handmaid. Adalia?
Yes. Oh, yeah, no, she's definitely...
I remember after the movie where I've seen her, she was in... She's from New Girl.
Yeah, she's like a popular character actress. She's great. I love her. She's so pretty.
She was one of my favorite things in the movie. She's so adorable. And she's like funny.
Yeah, her name is Nassim Pedred, right?
Oh, is that?
I'm pretty sure that's her name. Yeah, great name.
Well, she was good and Iranian. I thought she was white. So it's so funny. The movie, we're watching the movie and like, but I move over to Eddie and I'm like, who is this white chick? Why is she the handmaid?
That's so funny. I didn't process her as white at all.
No.
She's
so much more fair skinned than everybody else. I guess it just like just for me it just went to like she's white. She looked like Chelsea Peretti a little.
I guess. You know, the complexity about skin and like where it entails where you come from, that's just like a whole other thing though. Cause someone could look at you and see Middle Eastern. Like I've been looked at and people thought it was Middle Eastern. I'm like, I'm sorry. I've been looked at and
been accused of being Hawaiian or Filipino.
Oh, I could see that.
Yeah. That comes a lot. Eddie used to call me his little Hawaiian.
Oh, that's adorable.
I didn't say little, though.
Okay. Now, that's
just saying my Hawaiian boyfriend.
But yeah, so Aladdin is played by an actor named Mina Massoud, and I'm pretty sure he is Egyptian.
He is. Yes, he was born in Cairo, and then he moved to Canada.
Yeah. And
I did my research on him because I thought he had a background in dance and singing. Does not. He actually learned all that stuff for this movie. I was very surprised by that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so Jafar was played by an actor named Marwan Kanzari, who I was very fascinated by, and I looked into him, and he's technically Dutch, although he is from he's from Tanzania and a Tanzanian family.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I remember when he was cast, the pictures of him, like, working out and stuff leaked, and, like, I remember he came, like, a thirst trap a little, and the joke was, he's like, oh, I'm going to be rooting for Jafar instead of Aladdin. And it's a shame that he wasn't shirtless more because he has such a ripped body.
Yeah.
But
and he's a cute little boy.
I actually like his face. The wait, who are we talking about? I'm talking about Jafar.
Yeah, I know. He's a cute boy.
Yeah. He had a very, very attractive face.
Yes, I agree. I think everyone in this movie was really attractive.
Oh, good. I'm glad you think that. I thought this cast, the three major actors, Jafar, Aladdin, and Jasmine, were fucking gorgeous. Oh, and also the girl, the handmaid. They were so...
Very gorgeous,
yeah. Everyone in the cast was beautiful.
I think so, like... I'm going to show some bias here, but I think that some of the most gorgeous people in the world, and this is definitely a stereotypical thing to say, but I find myself very attractive to people who are defined as Middle Eastern. So,
are you exoticizing?
I am.
No, I wholeheartedly agree with you. I was actually thinking about this after I left the movie yesterday. I think Middle Eastern, and look, everyone is beautiful in their own way, but there's something about the complexion and the dark hair, right? They're very, very stunning people. And I was blown away by the casting of this film. I feel like now we are fetishizing them.
No, I mean, they're very attractive people, but that's it. Like, that's it. So we could stop there at the risk of fetishizing them. But I will say that the actress, Naomi Scott, right? If you look her up, where she comes from, right? She's English. By the way, she's not American, but her lineage, she's from Uganda and India, right? And then one could argue two things. Well, one, where is technically Agrabah? But two, what constitutes the Middle East? Because the Middle East also spans between Europe, Asia, and Africa.
Yes.
And that's one very unique thing because technically Egypt is the Middle East, but Egypt is in Africa. Technically, Iran, but Iran is in Asia, you know? So... Mm. I know a lot of people, I've heard some people being upset about Naomi Scott's casting because one, she's technically English, but two, like her lineage is from Africa and India. But at the same time, like that also kind of constitutes for this whole general area of the quote unquote Middle East. So.
Wait, is India is not part of the Middle East though, right?
India is not, but it's very close to it. Like
it's Iran?
Iran?
Pakistan.
Wait, what?
Pakistan is a neighbor to India.
Yes, it is, so which is also, I think Pakistan is the border of where the Middle East begins to end. So, and that's why, like, in terms of even, like, fashion and culture, there's a lot of things that are very similar.
Uh-huh.
So, there you go.
Well, yeah, I guess so that's where I did get a little bit confused, right? Because there was a dance sequence in the movie, in the second act, that I thought felt very Bollywood-esque.
That is what my mother, who I took to see this movie, said. So you are not the only one.
So I'm not a cultural expert here and stuff. And I know you've seen a lot of Bollywood movies. You would say that scene looked very Bollywood, like, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, but is that typical of also Middle Eastern dance? Or was that just a mistake on the filmmaker's part, on Guy Ritchie? We know how Madonna loves to appropriatize. Is that the word? Appropriate cultures.
Yeah. Well, luckily, we're not talking about Madonna. But
I'm just saying, like, maybe it rubbed off on Guy Ritchie.
Maybe. Or maybe it rubbed off on Disney and any white person in general.
That's possible.
I think that I didn't have anything wrong with it just because, you know, and also it's not just Bollywood where people like to break out in dances. I think a lot of cultures other than America where, like, people just like to stand there and be awkward and self-conscious about their dancing. Like in many other cultures and in their cinema, you see big musical numbers. I think Bollywood, in American perspective, is the one that we associate the most with those kind of productions, but they do exist all over the globe, especially within that part of the world.
Yeah. Well, I guess I meant more like the style of dance felt more like Bollywood-esque Indian.
Well, okay, so... What did you think about the overall production of 2019 Aladdin?
All right. There were these weird sequences in this film where I don't know what was going on with the frame rate. Did you notice this?
Yes, I did notice it. This is one of the things I wrote, especially in One Jump.
The chase?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. There was like, what's it called? There was like, they sped it up or something? I don't know what was going on.
I think they shot it in 60 frames per second and they kept it there.
I think it was also, it might have been for the 3D. because it was supposed to be also screened in 3D. Did you see it in 3D?
I did not see it in 3D.
Yeah, I won't. I'm never going to pay extra money for the 3D.
No, so, never.
Sorry, guys. And I keep the 3D glasses, by the way. So also that I had too many. But no. So I don't know if it was maybe a an artifact from it. It was filmed for 3D, but it was weird. Like during the chase sequence, like it was like this weird jarring, and it could be like maybe because Eddie didn't notice it, but he noticed it in some of the dance sequences. It could be more like something that like maybe us as like filmmakers, we picked up on it quicker.
I think but so.
If you watch it, there's something. It's weird. It's really. It's almost hard to watch, I think. And it was like I was upset because it was just like, oh, you know what? For the most part, I'm kind of enjoying the sequence, except for this that's going on.
I completely agree. I found it incredibly distracting. I thought to myself, mm-hmm. okay, there has to be a reason. I can't think of technically why they would do that, but I'm sure there was a reason, either if it's for, you know, the visual effects or for the 3D application. But it was one of the first things I noticed, and it was very... I was like, was this movie rushed or something? Did they not have time to finesse it and keep this in there? Like, what is going on?
It probably was rushed.
And I do think there were moments where the film definitely felt rushed to me.
And the dancing and the dance numbers was another one where you saw that too. Those that kind of weird frame rate was off.
Yes. So there were times where they didn't really finesse it, and like to a technical eye, it was very noticeable. But then there were times where I think they spent more time on certain things than others. Like they spent a lot of time on the "Friend Like Me" number. And
oh, but "A Friend Like Me" is a good song worth having.
Yeah, I think it feels like they prioritize things.
Well, that worked. I mean, that's a good one to prioritize, right? Especially when you think about the, like, when you cast Will Smith, right? And there was I don't know if it was a backlash, but between the trailer dropping the first time and people seeing Will Smith in blue, they were just like, you have to kind of, I think the studio had to, like, really, really make this the moment when you had to, like, show it. Just like, no, this movie is going to be good. Look at what we can do.
Yeah, I was talking to my brother-in-law about that, actually.
They overcompensate.
Yes, I would agree because there was definitely like he's a 90s guy and he like grew up with the Fresh Prince and all the 90s movies that Will Smith was huge in, and he was just like so he's like this movie looks horrible. Will Smith is a genie. This is the stupidest thing in the world. And I'm like, why do people feel this way? Like one, I thought because of the 90s association and the nostalgia that people would be thrilled to see Will Smith. But I do think that Robin Williams' portrayal of the genie really is like an iconic thing that people hold dear to their hearts, and people were not okay with the Will Smith thing. And the one thing that I appreciated, I don't know how other people are going to feel about it though, is that Will Smith kind of made it more Will Smith.
I agree with you. I think he made it his own.
And that's what you have to do, especially when you have something mm-hmm. that was so dominated by Robin Williams making it himself. He can never do Robin Williams, so he's going to make it his own thing.
Hey, can you make me a prince?
There is a lot of gray area in make me a prince. I could just make you a prince.
Oh, no.
Right, you'll be snuggled up with that dude for the rest of your life.
Y'all see my palace?
Be specific with your words. The deal is in the detail.
Got it.
Which I don't really understand, because if she already likes you, why change?
I told you, she has to marry a prince.
I just want to go home, man.
Okay, I can do that.
Now, the application of more typical, like, 2010 American vernacular in this film wasn't too crazy about, but at the end of the day, like, that's what he had to do in order for it to be his film.
When you say 2010 vernacular, what do you mean literal, like, literal in the dialogue?
Yes.
But Robin Williams' genie would do that.
Yeah, and like
I think that's also part of the joke, right? Where Genie is, he said he's not all knowing, but like in a way, time means nothing to him. So he probably has an idea of like what the future holds. And
true.
Stuff.
This
they're making, but, you know, that's part of the appeal for the Genie, the Disney Genie at least.
The reason why though I kind of say that is because the Genie wasn't the only character who was guilty of that. Of course, you know, we're in Agrabah and they're all speaking English and it doesn't even fucking matter how they talk at the end of the day. But it was just a little weird when the film begins and the little kid is like, oh my God, I'm so bored. Tell me a story or something like that, where it was like the way they said it just sounded too modern, but too contemporary. Right. But I digress. But so because of that, like you could tell that they were like, we really need to make sure that people are okay with Will Smith's casting, because for some reason, even though there should be no problem with Will Smith and people should be a little bit more forgiving about it, people are not. And are going to enter this film being
audiences
disappointed.
Audiences are rarely.
Yeah, we're hard to please.
Apparently. Me less so, because I actually left the movie theater saying, you're like, you know what? Will Smith wasn't bad. Why were people so upset about this?
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all. I mean, and I thought that the after effects and the use of it was, you know, the people who made that sequence, I mean, job well fucking done.
that sequence was well done. I think the CGI with Will Smith as Blue was sometimes a little hit or miss.
Yeah, but that sequence itself was used. Great. Yeah.
But that sequence itself was very, very well done. And then the other, I think Will Smith was great in that one. But I think where Will Smith really sold it to me that he kind of made the genie his own was during the Prince Ali song.
Yeah, that was another great number.
Prince Ali, fabulous, he, Ali, Ababwa. Show some respect, boy, genuflect, down on one knee. Now try your best to stay calm. Brush up your Friday salon. Then come and meet a spectacular.
Yeah, because keep in mind, the Prince Ali song, I think I like that song a lot more than A Friend Like Me. A Friend Like You.
Yeah.
When Robin Williams performed it. But the Prince Ali was fucking great because he does, in that song, he has a lot of different characters that he plays.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in this one, Will Smith doesn't necessarily have the range of characters, but it was nice to see him in drag, for example.
Yes.
And it was also just nice to see. It was interesting, right? Because listening to him like kind of play the song, he's not the greatest singer.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he still was able to kind of carry that song.
Yeah.
There was a bravado that hit in his performance that kind of sold it.
And they did a fairly good production for it, too. So it was good.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, though, my other favorite, well, good thing I will say about this new film is that they gave Jasmine two songs. Speechless, okay. Speechless Reprise. So we were talking about how the first Jasmine was just some bored princess who wanted love, right? They added a lot more dimension to this Jasmine, and they made her 2019 more appropriate, okay?
Yes, this is a very, very smart choice from John August. He was a screenwriter, a primary screenwriter. And for those of you who don't know, John August is, his previous works include like Big Fish.
Very good screenwriter.
And he has also a podcast worth checking out, those Script Notes. I listen to him regularly, so I'm a big John August fan. So I think I think I give credit to him here for like introducing some character development for Jasmine. I agree with you because I think introducing her as kind of a people's princess was important.
Yes, she's more concerned with the people. She's a more learned princess. She's aware of how a map fucking works, for instance. And she wants to be Sultan, and she thinks that it's unfair that just because she's a woman, she's a Sultan, right? So she has more ambition, and she has more equality in mind. And they put they pinned this Jafar against her, and pretty much the big thing that they say is that he says to her is that you need to be seen and not heard, which is something that women for a long time have felt and have been actually even told, right? This is just something that has been woman's burden for ages now, and they acknowledge that in this. And so Jasmine didn't have her own song in the other film, and by giving her a song, and when you just like spend time with her and see what's going on in her head for a musical, like that's a musical motif that's really important, and I'm so glad they did that in this. Of course they also did it as an Oscar contender for best song, but at the end of the day, like, I still think that they needed it to build up her her character.
I like the first time the song came up, it was fine. I think for me it was a little weird because it was like an internal monologue the second time.
Yes.
The reprise.
It was.
And I wasn't a fan of that.
It could have been done better, but
Eddie disagreed with me hard on that one.
I'm gonna have to agree, assuming I know what Eddie thinks. I'm gonna have to agree with Eddie though, because at the end of the day it was kind of important, and like that's a moment where you need a musical number where she says, no, I'm not going to sit quietly and let Jafar do this to my family. And now I'm going to not only stand up for myself and my family, but I'm going to show everybody what I am capable of, and I can be the Sultan. And if that's not a moment for a musical number, I don't know what is.
Eddie, what was your...
Yeah, so I just thought it was just very important to see the pinnacle point. The point in a person that they decide, no more. No more.
Yeah,
I'm no longer going to be quiet. I'm going to stand up for what I believe in. And that was that moment when you just see her just transform and recognizing that she's going to take the risk, even if it means her own death.
Yep.
Even means that she's literally going to stand against a great power. Okay. And she does it in a way that is not violent. She does it in speech, in her words, and she reaches out to the captain of the guards,
Hakim.
She reaches out to him and she reminds him of the man that he is.
Yep.
And instead of like being bounded by the oath and loyalty of always protecting the Sultan, he's reminded that the Sultan is a servant to the people. And he is a servant to the people. And he is a man that needs to recognize the needs of the people. And that's what Jasmine is speaking to him.
She became very much a princess of the people, right? So you have like Princess Diana, you have Princess Meghan Markle, and now you have Princess Jasmine. So we're just inundated with all these princesses of the people. Love it.
All English. And I would...
Oh my God, they're all English. Well, no, not Meghan Markle. Meghan Markle's American.
Okay. Well, she's honorary English.
The American princess.
The addition of Hakim was really good, because then once you insert him in there and then everything that follows suit, then you remove the part where Jasmine becomes Jafar's sexual slave. And like, I knew they were going to remove that out, but I didn't know how. And, you know, that's how they did that.
Yeah, I thought it was a well-done sequence. I don't know if the song itself at that moment was a thing. That's where I also complain. But we didn't talk about Jasmine. I'm glad we're talking about Jasmine right now, because Jasmine was, for me, the breakout star of this movie.
For sure.
It was... She was, first of all, just captivating on screen, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the hair, the eyes, everything about her. The outfits. Oh, my God. Her outfits were so fucking gorgeous.
So
in
good.
Whole, in the whole movie.
So good.
Loved it. I think my favorite thing about one of the favorite things about this movie was like the fashion was so over the top, ridiculous, not practical.
Yeah, but it loved was the costume so good design. On camera. Yeah, no, the costumes were really nice.
Looked great on camera.
Really added to the fantasy of it for sure.
Yeah.
No, I think Jasmine was one of the best things about this film. I also say that their chemistry and their relationship was a lot more fleshed out and a lot more deserved in this film. And that was one of the things I liked, because the two actors had chemistry. And despite the terrible Whole New World sequence that I personally did not really enjoy.
I like that one.
I thought that improvement on their relationship, and like as a live action film and two actors, like I'm glad I actually responded to the two of them.
I agree with you. I think they had great chemistry. You know, the chemistry in the cast was everyone had great chemistry. Will Smith and Aladdin.
As friends,
yeah. Like they had good chemistry. I think Aladdin with the CGI monkey had great chemistry.
The Sultan was so good, and he had chemistry with everyone. Like the moments that they had between each other, the Sultan was so good.
Yeah, the acting actually, like thinking back about this a whole night later, this movie, like the acting was very, very good.
It was.
Jafar as a villain, he didn't go like that crazy diabolical crazy villain as
you know what
the
he
original
did?
Animated one?
Yes, he did creepy. He did subdued and like almost like, you know how like you can look at someone and you're like, oh my God, you're a serial killer. Like that's how I looked at Jafar and I loved that interpretation.
Yeah.
I
agree with you.
He did perturbed individual very well. Mm-hmm. And that parrot was such an asshole. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
I liked they introduced a little backstory to Jafar.
Yeah.
Making him a thief and like how he rose to the top.
Yeah.
And like how that kind of comes back to like how he steals a lamp, right? Like using his old thieving skills. I kind of wish they had fleshed out like I would love to learn a little bit more about Jafar.
Mm.
Just a little bit more in this film. However, I will say this probably will leave. I think this leaves the doors open for a sequel like Aladdin got, Return of Jafar.
So that with interesting you brought that up too, because it almost that is it's almost like the he can mirror Aladdin on the choices that you make, coming from the same origin, coming from like the street rat riffraff, trying to survive, and the genie, you know, the genie asks, what cup are you gonna drink from, you know, and that always he always comes back to that, oh, you drank from that cup.
Yeah.
Making a reference of the cup of power compared to the cup of truth, too. And getting back to Jasmine, what I also liked is the adding of her own backstory a little bit, dealing with the death of her mother.
Yes.
Too, because if you're a Disney princess, that means you either your mom's dead or both your parents are dead.
That's
right?
True. That's true.
But they never kind of like cut a flesh out, so we don't talk about that. You know, you may refer, you may have a little sad moment when you see a picture, but that's it. But they brought up her mother a few times.
Her kingdom.
Here.
They were trying to invade her kingdom. That was like a plot,
you know,
kind of.
And also her mother's love of the people and how that was it, how that influenced Jasmine too. So I like the fact that came up a couple of times and recognizing that her mother still plays a role in Jasmine's life. Gives her direction and guidance.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think that's good. I do want to go back to Aladdin, though, himself, because we've been praising a lot of everyone else right here. What about Aladdin?
No, I thought he was very good. I mean, beautiful man in general, but
oh,
I thought
God, he
that
was so hot.
He did modest well.
The nicest smile.
Yeah, he did. Beautiful eyes, and he played modest well.
Yeah.
The one thing that I thought was a bit was, you know, when he first meets them as the prince, and that scene wasn't very funny with the jams and the yams, and they really
really I thought it was great. I found myself very much enjoying that scene, because I think it was also it was his performance kind of being a nervous wreck And then, like, Will Smith, like, kind of just under his breath, like, you're embarrassing me. Stop this. You're being crazy.
Yeah.
It worked for me. I can see how that could be a little trite to some people.
For sure. Yeah, to me, it didn't really work. But I thought, I mean, I think he's very good. Like I said, the chemistry between them was believed. And I think he did the modest thing really well. So he actually embodied the characteristics that you need for Aladdin. So I think he did a good job. He wasn't stellar or anything, but he did a good job.
I think as a cast, they were stellar. I think individually, sure, they had like their flaws here and there.
Yes.
But one, I do have one complaint, though, about Aladdin's characterization here.
Not shirtless?
They kind of really... Well, yes, obviously that, because I would love to see Mesa Masood. What is that?
Mina Masood.
Mina Masood. I would love to see him shirtless more often. I think I see good things for his future.
Me too.
But they really focus a lot on kind of him being a thief. A lot more than the original one. In the original one, he was always stealing to survive, and he would steal bread. He would steal, like, apples, right?
Yeah.
In this one, he was actually stealing, like, actual jewelry and possessions of other people that he would use it to sell. I wasn't as big of a fan of that one because it kind of didn't seem like he's stealing to survive. It seemed like he's just stealing forget a little. But I could put that aside.
The trade-off would be food.
The trade-off would be it food, but he's still money. Like he should be stealing like bread like they did originally.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, this film was definitely more focused on where your place was in society. And that they wanted to speak to us because, like, those things, they kind of do crush us. And that we don't need to be so concerned with those things. We need to be more concerned with who we are as individuals because that's what really matters. And that's one of the things that I felt like this film was trying to get more to. So they put more emphasis on place in society, hierarchies in terms of those things. But the one thing that I thought was a little odd and that I was like, this is uneven, was the fact that Genie granted him all these wishes to get the girl. And then at the end of the day, criticized him for it. He's like, oh, so you're going to lie and you're not going to tell her the truth. It's like, well, why did you make me a fucking prince that did this, this, and that? Like, you helped me catapult me. And I get it. You're my slave. So you have to do what I tell you to do. But at the same time, like, don't tell me to fucking own up to it. Like, you made me a prince. No. Like, I'm not going to tell you the truth.
But I think, and this goes back to like the original one, right? Because Genie always gives those wishes to Aladdin, but he always preaches. It's just like, yeah, like this is all a facade. This is not the real you. The real you comes from the heart.
Yeah.
Like, even though he'll give him all these things, his advice to Aladdin had always been, be yourself. She wants you for you, not for, not to be a prince and stuff, right? And I think I think that's the other thing that I liked here that was a little more fleshed out was kind of this building of a relationship between Aladdin and Genie, where it starts off with Genie kind of being, you know, at arm's length with him. It's just like, we have a master-slave relationship here. And then slowly kind of building to like kind of trusting each other.
Yeah.
Which kind of made that like that all is lost moment, right? Where Genie is disappointed in Aladdin, kind of a little sadder.
Okay, so Rolando, did you think this remake was needed?
Oh, that's interesting. I don't know if this remake was needed, but I appreciate this effort.
You know, that's a good way to say it. Obviously, Aladdin was turned into a Broadway musical, right? So this isn't...
Did you ever see it?
I've never seen it. I actually don't really have an interest to see it, but...
Yeah, me and Eddie saw it. The third act is a little wonky.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's fine. The actor that we saw play Aladdin, I don't think convinced me as Aladdin. He was a little too effeminate for my liking.
I think this is a film, and I don't know how it would translate to the stage. Like, I feel like the things that really work are the things that are cinematic about Aladdin. So that's my own personal opinion.
A Whole New World sequence, though, is fucking cool as hell on Broadway.
Well, that's nice.
They did a good job on that.
So a couple months ago, I saw Bob Iger at this conference, and he said that, you know, like, these films are really important to us, but they need to be revisited because there are things that are wrong with them that we need to improve upon. We need to make them better for 2019 in standards, like for today. And I was thinking about that, and I was like, I don't know if I agree with that, but I saw what they did with Aladdin, the things they fixed in Jasmine, right? And the fact that they did a more aware of the fact that, you know, people of Middle Eastern backgrounds are going to go see this film, and we don't want to offend anyone. And, like, thinking about being a young Egyptian or Iranian or anybody who identifies as a Middle Eastern and seeing this film and, like, seeing that representation. Granted, they're speaking English, but that's whatever. It's Disney. But, like, seeing that representation, you know, what it would mean for them. And that is really important. Having Jasmine portrayed in this way, taking away the sex things and the sexist things and the fetishism, you know what I mean, the fetishism. out of that and like actually focusing on a better story too was really good. And overall, I will say that this film was not terrible. I will say that this film improved upon a lot of things that I really did appreciate, and that in a weird way, we kind of did need those things to be improved. But at the same time, I also think that looking at 1992 Aladdin and seeing everything that they did right and got wrong, like, it never needed to be fixed, because like a film will always just hark to its state of mind as to when it was made. So nothing ever really needs to be fixed.
Right.
But I appreciate, like I said, I really did appreciate the effort they did for it. And I just love seeing more people of like a Middle Eastern in, and actually appropriately casted in a big Hollywood blockbuster movie. And that I really liked to see. So.
Yeah. I agree with you wholeheartedly on that one. I think, like I said, it's just like, I don't know necessarily I didn't know I needed an Aladdin remake until I saw it and enjoyed it. I probably will go see it again with my mom, cause I think she would love this one. How does this rank for you in terms of the Disney remakes?
Oh God, dare I say it? It's a really flawed film. You know, the technical aspects are weird, and like there is a lot. I think that everything was good other than like say the direction. But I do think I enjoyed this more than the Beauty and the Beast one. And I think I might have enjoyed this one the best out of all of them.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I think for me right now, Jungle Book is a gold standard. This one I think is the next one for me.
Yeah, seriously. A lot of people
I don't include Mary Poppins just because it's not one of the animated movies though.
Yeah, and it's
a Disney remake, sure.
It's kind of a revival if you think about it, or a sequel.
Yeah, agreed.
So a lot of people, you know, think this film looks terrible. It's gotten a lot of weird backlash, and oddly enough, I'm going to say if you're really a Disney fan and want to see it and you want to keep an open mind, do, because you might be pleasantly surprised.
I agree.
All right, should we do a quick lightning round?
Lightning round.
Let's go, Nicole. Let's do it.
I love that enthusiasm. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
So, Aladdin.
All right. I'm going to go with the new Aladdin, Mina Masood.
Yeah.
He's just so... He really sold the part. And also, I think his voice was so sexy.
Yeah.
And when he sang, he sang.
Yeah, no, he did a good job.
He was great as Aladdin. He is. It's so interesting, right? I always imagine what a hottie Aladdin would be, and they really translated very well onto the live screen.
Yes, I would agree. I think he did a really good job. And I too would have enjoyed to see him shirtless at least once, but he was a good job.
He did. Yeah, he did a great job.
Jasmine.
I'm going to go with New Jasmine.
I think New Jasmine is the clear winner.
New Jasmine is absolutely the clear winner. I think her outfits were on point. She gorgeous, everything about it.
Yeah, for sure. Me too. And yeah, the songs, everything. I really liked it. And she's a beautiful actress. And I think she has a big future. What about Jafar?
Oh, this is hard. All right. So I do love the new interpretation of Jafar. I do. However, nothing can beat the over-the-top campiness of the original 1992 Jafar.
Yeah.
And then his subsequent sequel, Return of Jafar.
Honestly, I find myself agreeing with you on all points. So yeah, I second that. Sultan. I think the new Sultan, he was just such a sweetheart. I think he was better casted. I wanted him to be my dad. And he was like an overall like good leader. You know, like he probably was a rapist on the side. Who cares? Everyone has flaws. But like...
What are you basing that off of?
I just don't like giving characters like that. Like, oh, you were a good man, because no one's a good man. But
all right, fair.
I did really like the Sultan a lot better. He wasn't a buffoon.
I'll say it's a tie, leaning more towards new Sultan because he was a little more fleshed out.
Yeah.
The other one was just so cute, adorable. I love him.
I guess
he looked like a little grandpa.
And last but not least, the genie.
The genie. Oh, all right. I'm gonna go. Robin Williams is a genie you cannot beat. I appreciate Will Smith's genie. I think he did a very admirable job. I've seen the Broadway musical, and I think seeing Genie in Blue, you needed to see that a little to kind of make it feel more like fantasy-like.
Yeah.
But like in the Broadway musical, for example, he's not ever blue. He's wearing a blue outfit. And there's something to be said about that. So when they originally casted Will Smith, I kind of thought that that's what they were going to do, go more the Broadway musical route of just having him in an outfit. And there were those stills that came out of him like looking like just Will Smith in, what's it called, in like Middle Eastern attire. So I thought that's the route they went. I appreciate the fact that they went blue. It was hit or miss sometimes, but his performance was still very good. However, nothing can beat Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Robin Williams' genie is just phenomenal, great. His singing was so much better than Will Smith's.
Of course, you know? Yeah. I mean, it was a iconic role. Robin Williams, there is no one that can compare. And I agree, my pick would be Robin Williams' genie. But at the same time, like, guys, this is weird. He doesn't deserve your kindness because he's a fucking millionaire. But, like, just be a little kinder to Will Smith.
I agree.
Yeah.
Will Smith is good. Will Smith, I don't know when, like, us as a society turned against him.
I don't think when. There's nothing on this.
I feel like, well, he's a Scientologist. I think that's part of it. Yeah. See, maybe. Even Eddie just made a face of just like, maybe that's what
he's like. And it's just, he's, you know, it's like, he doesn't have lasting power. Nobody has lasting power forever. So I guess people are kind of over it. But at the same time, like, he did a good job.
I was hoping this would be like his comeback moment. You think he'll be in Men in Black?
I don't know. Well, I think he has to make a cameo for sure. But we'll see. It could be his comeback. But yeah, so overall, check it out, guys. And let us know what you think. Comment on our page, on our Instagram, Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals. You can Facebook us, facebook.com/remakes, reboots, and revivals. Or you can email us. Please email us. We prefer those. remakesrebootsrevivals@gmail.com.
Yeah, and also be sure to rate us on whatever app you listen to this podcast on.
Mm-hmm.
It helps us, and it also helps us in the ratings.
Five stars, you know, yay!
Yeah. I'm not going to tell you to rate us five stars. But
no, I'm going to tell you to. So
you know, do what's in your heart. I think we at least deserve a four.
Yes, grant us this wish, please, Jeannie, and rate us.
Oh, that's a great ending. Good job, Nicole.
Thank you.
Ah, love it.
Well, on that note, I am going to go back to enjoying my vacation.
You do that, and I'm going to go. I have a long day ahead of me. I know I was complaining about, like, nothing to do on Memorial Day weekend, but Eddie Z is right. I have a shit ton to do, so.
So let's get to it, guys. Well, thank you for listening to this week's episode, guys, and we'll catch you next time. And as always, stay an original. Oh, we did it at the same time!